Tomorrow night. Okay.
Okay.
And there will be cupcakes.
Yeah, there will.
And party favors.
And probably 40 candles. It's the 40th birthday of this casino. That is awesome.
And now that Christy went out to the pool, I can admit that when that round of golf is over, we're not heading out of here that quick.
No.
I'm coming back here for some cupcakes.
You might as well.
I don't miss out on cupcakes.
Exactly.
So, yeah, whole party this weekend. All kinds of events coming. I tell you one that caught my eye because you already know this.
Yep.
And I actually knew this before we even came out here today because I kind of had my eye on it.
You've been scouting this place.
Well, not only this place, but like what's coming here. Dude, Joe Coy is coming here.
Dude, you love Joe Coy.
Joe Coy. I love stand-up comedy. Joe Coy, that's the one.
You went to San Jose to see Joe Coy, and you came back, and you were, like, all Joe Coy'd out.
To the point where we went and saw him again.
Exactly.
At Chase Center. Joe Coy, that's our, of all the comedians we love to go see, that's the dude.
Yeah.
That's the dude. And he's going to be here the weekend, August 1st and 2nd, which I think is a Friday and Saturday night.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, my birthday's the 15th, which is also a Friday. And I was just looking at the upcoming list, and I saw Joe Coy, and I'm like, that is so Mark Willard. And then I looked further, and I'm like, oh, my God, one of my favorite artists from the 90s, Ashanti, is going to be here.
September 5.
Dude, and having seen her in concert a couple of times, she puts on a show now.
Yep.
Ashanti, she's got hits, and, like, there's a couple hits. You'd be like, oh, I know that song. And then there's, like, five or six more bangers. You're like, that's Ashanti?
Well, you should definitely come that weekend because it's not just Ashanti on September 5th, but the very next night is 98 Degrees. And I know that's really your jam.
Oh, yeah.
Not actually Ashanti. You're more of a 98 Degrees kind of a guy. People don't know that about you.
Yeah.
But anyway, you should go.
If I did my Mount Boy Band more, my Mount Rushmore boy bands, 98 Degrees is not Washington or Lincoln, but it's Roosevelt for sure.
Good.
I mean,
Good to know.
It's
anyway,
not in the Reagan spot.
Perfect. Yeah.
I think we should add a fifth face.
Exactly. Anyway, tickets to all of those events,
right,
if you want to check it out, are at cashcreek.com. And we'll be telling you more about everything that's going on out here this weekend and throughout the summer. And by the way, what we're very much learning immediately upon arrival, you don't need a special event to come out here. This place is the event. This is awesome. We're having a good time. We appreciate the hospitality. And actually, it's one of the reasons that the word maturity popped into my head when we're talking about the D'Amador Lenore situation or the Giants throwing at a Marlin or whatever has gone on this year with the Warriors.
But Jonathan Kuminga, like, putting in work, right?
Yeah, I think Jonathan has been very mature. I think the Warriors have been very mature. But the situation as a whole kind of feels immature, where it's just like, what is going on here? You've got this good player, but he doesn't want to play the way they want him to play. But really, you're going to just give away a good player for 50 cents on the dollar because of stubbornness, what have you? Look, you know, I'm not a guy with a whole lot of, like, outward vices. I'm not a guy with vices. But when we come do this, like, I'm not asking for credit here, but when I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk to you for 4 hours.
Oh, boy.
While there are blackjack tables in the next room.
Yeah.
There's an entire flat of, like, Reese's peanut butter cups across the room from us. But I'm getting married in 3 weeks.
Oh, boy.
And so, like, I'm going to show some maturity.
Right.
Which means I'll only have, like, 2 candy bars.
I get
Normally
that.
I'd have, like, 5, but, like, maturity. That may not sound like much to you, the fact that I can actually make it until tonight to go to the tables, or the fact that I'm going to avoid a little bit of sugar. But to me, that's me being mature. And I think that we need to have a conversation about to what level that is permeating all of the teams and the players right now, particularly the 49ers this particular offseason.
Right. And I do think that every situation is different. And, you know, being a young African-American in a parked vehicle is a lot more challenging than being a young white guy in a parked vehicle.
Well, so, hell yes.
I mean, whatever happened, I don't know the full.
Anything is more challenging.
Of course, I don't know the full details of what D'Amador Lenore and his friends went through,
right,
but the fact that he was arrested for obstruction is ridiculous. And I don't know what went on or the full details of it, but, you know, the fact that he's 25 and he's an NFL player in his off time and like these sorts of things happen to him, I just don't – I can't understand it from my perspective.
When you say this is ridiculous, you mean the fact that he got arrested in terms of his behavior, or it's ridiculous that he was arrested? I just want to understand where you're coming from.
I don't know his full behavior, but it, just based on what I've learned of what happened, it's ridiculous that he got arrested.
Well, here's what I would say about it. And actually, we can remind everybody that D'Amador Lenore was on the show with us just like two and a half weeks ago. And he's fresh off of a very, very big contract that the 49ers signed him to last season. And we did ask him, are there any sort of new pressures or feelings that come from now being a highly paid guy and one of the lead guys at your position? And this is what he said to us that day.
I mean, I feel like it's just an even bigger chip, you know, within just being paid so much money. I feel like it's kind of like you got to prove yourself. Like, you still have to prove yourself. You got to prove why you're worth that much. So I feel like it's still like kind of a chip on my shoulder.
Okay, so he describes it as a chip on the shoulder and still needing to prove, and I get that. He's obviously talking about it through the standpoint of playing football. He's talking about his skills. He's talking about his production. I wonder to what level when somebody, and this can be anyone, it can be Lenore, it can be Brock Purdy, it can be anyone in between, anytime that a team puts this amount of faith in you, there is obviously responsibility that comes with it. And I'm like you. I have no idea what happened in that car last night. And even whatever did happen, even if your mind goes to the worst place, it doesn't sound like what D'Amador did was that bad. Like someone asked me already earlier today, you think he's going to get suspended? And I'm like, no, I would guess no. This doesn't sound like one of those situations. There was something potentially serious going on in the car, but it wasn't Lenore. It was whoever he's in the car with. There was a firearm in there and whatnot. I have no idea what took place, but here's what I do know, and this is where the world gets unfair on you. The bottom line, whether it's your fault or not, when you become a celeb and you become a major investment for a multi-billion dollar organization, it then becomes your responsibility to avoid these situations. Period. It doesn't matter if you did anything wrong. Like, this is what, and I have no idea if he even knew, but I'd say this, Demo, if you knew that you were getting into a car and you knew that there was a firearm in there, I'm sorry, some of this is now on you. And that's just the way the world works. Nobody cares about your reasons. Nobody cares about your problems. Your results are your results. And if you are a multi-million dollar investment from a multi-billion dollar company, you have to actively avoid situations that can put you and your company in a bad light.
I can allow for that part of it. And at the same time, I can be more than annoyed at not only the reporting of the situation, for example, I'm reading an account of the report and it just mentions that he was arrested. Now, were the other two people in the car also arrested? There's no mention of that. And
someone, the person with the firearm was arrested.
But the whole report talks about how the officer wanted the keys, and so they threw him to D'Amador Lenore, and then he threw him to the other guy. And so he was arrested for obstruction. And so, you know, should they have just given the keys over, whatever? Should he have not been in the car with somebody with a firearm? Who knows? And, you know, it could be somebody who is legally allowed to carry a firearm. These are all the things that we don't know about. To your point, when you are a celebrity,
yep,
and you get into situations where, you know, things can happen, and unfortunately, these things happen a lot more often to African-American people in this country. And
of course,
it's something that you and I will never be able to appreciate, understand, or rationalize. And so I almost hesitate to even talk about it because I have no idea. My white privilege is something that I can never escape, and yours and mine. And like, I will never understand or fathom what life is like, especially as a 25-year-old in Los Angeles,
of course,
in this spot. So what you're saying about, you know, not putting yourself in that situation, yeah, it's easy for you and I to say that. I'm 56 with, you know, a 2.5-year-old living on the other side of the tunnel.
Right,
there are things in my life that I will never confront based on the very fact of my own white privilege.
Understood. And that's not even, for me, that's not even what this point is about. I do think that we're almost obligated to discuss this because the star 49er's been arrested. And the unfairness of his situation and our society, that's there. That's there. That is an unfortunate standard of our country. Here's the other side of it. You and I don't have a company giving us $92 million. We don't.
Well, you don't know what I make, but I mean, you can go ahead and assume that.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to assume that. You don't have a company giving you
91.9.
Well,
go ahead.
And therefore, it's an accurate statement.
You
do not have a company entrusting you with $92 million. I don't even think, like, the whole unfairness of what is experienced out in that world, in a way, like, absolutely appreciate the discussion, but that's there no matter what. That's there whether you're with your friends in the car. That's there whether you're walking down the street. It's there whether you're doing nothing. I absolutely read this story, and I immediately, with what we've all been through and what we're now so much more aware of in the last decade of this world, I'm really glad nothing worse happened. This is incredibly close to all kinds of scenarios where people have been unfairly shot or treated poorly or whatever.
Oh, there's so many.
There's so many. So I'm thankful that this didn't go that way. But the other side to it is there's also an account of this event where you're like, Demo, really? You hop in the car with multiple people with a firearm, and then when you get talked to by officers, you guys start tossing keys around the car almost playfully, like,
right,
you take it. Like, seriously? It's incredible that you, in that situation, were that cavalier. And that's and that, unfortunately, unfairness as it exists in every walk of life, that's not a good decision. That, like, we have to allow for that. That's not a good decision.
Fair enough. And beyond the, like, unfairness of the actual stop and whatever happened in that area of Los Angeles, you're right. When that happens, you have to be able to comport yourself in a way to not have this happen. And so ostensibly you get arrested because it's obstruction, because the officer wants you to, you know, give up the keys or step out of the car or whatever it was. And so, you know, that goes from there. And you're right. At the very root of everything, you are representative of your organization and your company. And I think about it with Sean Gelly, for example, now. And Sean Gelly's been optioned to AAA. And, you know, the reason why his name is in the news is because he's been accused of whatever it is, abuse or spousal abuse or whatever has happened in his own relationship, got to a point where his wife or soon-to-be ex-wife decided that these things that are going on needed to be, you know, publicized.
Yep.
And so his own personal stuff gets put out there in the public. And now, because it's in the public, it probably affects the way he's pitching. That was his worst performance of the year. And maybe it's weighing on him. Whatever has happened, now if you say the name Sean Gelly to Giants fans, they no longer just think, that's the really tall guy.
Right.
That's the dude who's 6'10",
right?
Now you think, oh my God, that's the guy who X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, in a different way with D'Amador Lenore, this becomes a part of the public consciousness in the moment.
Right. And just to let people know, you know, if you're just kind of firing into the conversation, you don't know what took place. This was in Los Angeles and took place overnight last night. He's already been released early today, and he's due back in court next month in the month of July, I think prior to training camp beginning. He's due back in court. I don't think in the end this is going to turn into a massive legal situation.
No.
And I don't think that in the large view this is that big of a deal. But I'll tell you where my mind goes. And again, I'm just reading what we know. And that means we don't know much. But I am reminded, and I think I told you this story, I'm reminded of a conversation I had on the Sunday show with Ephraim last year. And I was telling him the story of when the Warriors got eliminated by the Los Angeles Lakers, so what was this, 2 seasons ago? When the Warriors got eliminated by the Lakers, I missed the third quarter of the game because my dog got out.
Mm.
My dog jumped out a window and ran down the street, got freaked out and saw something, ran down the street. Thankfully, she didn't get hit by a car. And at that time, I had not yet put an AirTag on her collar, and so I had no idea where she was. And so out into the streets we go, and we're in a community that's kind of not very symmetrical. And so the dog is heading off into the forest and into people's yards and just running through all over the place. And we go trudging after her. And we went through all kinds of different terrain. And probably were on people's property at times because we didn't know exactly where the dog was going. Well, I'm telling Ephraim this story. For those of you who don't know, Ephraim Salaam is 13-year offensive lineman in the NFL. And so this is a 280-pound, 6'6" black man. And I am telling him this story of what was happening and sort of having the, like,
right,
could you experience anything like this?
And
like,
you're jumping over people's
what
fences
would you have
and
done?
Through yards.
He stopped
thing.
Me in my tracks because he goes, do you think that being who I am in this world today, I would step anywhere near anybody else's property and just walk onto it cavalierly like I'm looking for a dog? Do you know what could happen to me? And it opened up an unbelievable conversation that I will remember forever, and I appreciate the way that he talked about it, but it popped into my mind when I'm reading this about Demo Lenore, and it made me want to go, Demo, what are you doing? Do you know what kind of danger that's like? I'm not about the, oh, dude, you acted out of line. I'm like, dude, don't you think you're putting yourself in danger? You are at a police stop in Los Angeles as a 25-year-old black man, and when you're asked to do something, y'all start playing a game of who touched it last?
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's where my mind went. That feels very, very unsafe. And that's the conversation, if I'm the Niners, I'd be having first. Prior to anything about you put the Niners in a bad light or
whatever,
anything ridiculous like that.
No, absolutely.
That's where my mind goes.
No, it reminds me a little bit of the whole thing with Ja Morant where, you know, he went through his whole sequence of events where he's, you know, flashing the gun and it's, you know, I got a gun and this and that. And, you know, the league had to clamp down on him for that and on and on and on. And so now you look at Ja Morant as, you know, not only as a basketball player, but if you're an acquiring team and he's going to become a free agent, I think in one more year, you definitely would have to think about the things that he's done off the court as well. And this is not the same as Diamond or Lenore. This is just, you know, an incident. And I was looking at the report. It was 5:30 late afternoon, yep, early evening. And they probably were just, you know, going about their business. I don't know what was going on, but you get pulled over and yeah, you have to comport yourself in a certain way, and he didn't do that.
Yeah, so that's, again, more will come out, and the Niners have obviously been contacted by the media and gave the normal response you'd expect, which is we're aware of it, we're gathering information. I do think, and this is true with Sean Jelly too, who you bring up, you know, I always think that the parent organization, when they say they're gathering information, boy, do they. They do. They know what happened. And you can sort of tell, I think, how a team is feeling or how a company is feeling about what took place based on what they do next. And so take a look at the Giants and Sean Jelly. They were aware of the information, and what did they do? Well, they put him on the mound that night. So that tells me that on some level, they don't feel something awful is about to come out in this story. I think that, I'm not saying they think it's okay. I'm not saying they're taking sides.
Right.
I think that they think right now we're not about to see Sean Jelly get arrested as he's walking to the dugout. So they kept him on the team. Now, they sent him down today, and I think that's because of his performance,
right,
which may very, very well be linked to whatever's going on a personal level. Same thing here with the 49ers. We're still very early in this one, but I do think that this has the feel – of a situation where it's heading down the road of the Niners are going to – it's almost like an eye roll. We're going to pull Demo aside. We're going to have a conversation. These kinds of things, they're not safe for you. They're not good for you. They're not good for us. Here's how we can avoid them in the future, but I don't think we're heading down the road of discipline.
And
I just don't.
It's just June. And, you know, you could look even further at, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, who got pulled over and arrested for driving on the influence in L.A., and he was going 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
And he's probably going to face discipline from the league, but the 49ers at this point, they don't have any action to take because the league will take action when the league takes action. So in the meantime, you go about doing what you're doing with him, and you let him play football, and you wait for the league to come in and weigh in on whatever is going to happen. And I think about the Niners and Reuben Foster,
and when
they, you know, when they finally cut ties with Reuben, it's because he got to a spot where his legal troubles were not only a distraction, but they were damaging to him, and you know he was going to be in real trouble.
Was it Chris Culliver? Is that I don't want to put someone's name in a bad
light. He was a Niner, yeah.
He was a Niner, but there was a DB, it might have been Culliver, who, same kind of thing, and this is what I mean. Like, there was an accusation, right? And then there were maybe, like, some charges, or at least there was a situation where it was like, we're going to bring him in for some questioning. I think it was a domestic situation. And he got cut the next day. And maybe it wasn't Culliver. I'm trying to think of who it was. There was a Niner DB number of years ago, and they released him the next day, and that's what I mean. Because I'm betting the Niners gathered their information,
right,
did their due diligence, and immediately went, ooh, we got the, like, this is a where there's smoke, there's fire situation. We're out.
The other one
that
was,
happens too.
And I'm looking at Chris Culliver. He pleaded guilty when he hit a bicyclist, fled the scene, and then threatened a citizen with brass knuckles. I don't know if that is what you're remembering.
Might have been it.
The other one that I was thinking about was Bruce Miller, the fullback.
Yes, that's another good one.
Who was in North Beach, and apparently he either went into the wrong hotel room or he went in and he punched it. He like knocked out somebody who was in their 70s and the 49ers, after that, was like, oh, yeah.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you're going to see any of that here.
I agree. And
with
it's not only because he's making a lot of money and they really, really need him, but it's because this is mostly just a nothing
burger. This is, I mean, again, somebody threw him some keys. He threw it to another friend. They hid the keys. Not the best thing to be doing when you're questioned by an officer, but also, yeah, not some sort of a backbreaker. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We are also sponsored by the San Francisco Police Officers Association. Drinking and driving, never worth it. Please plan your ride before the party starts. Ride share, transit, a cab. Stay safe, aware, and together, San Francisco. Whether it's Pride or the 4th, have a plan to get home safely, brought to you by the San Francisco Police Officers Association. There's more to get to with the San Francisco Giants for sure. So we'll be all over that coming up next as they get things started in Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, Angel Reese is in town tonight. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Angel Reese is in town tonight at Chase Center. So we've got all of that coming up around the bend as NBA rumors continue to fly. And who knows when the breaking news is going to come between now and Monday with regard to anything that may be happening for the Warriors. So we're covering all that, and we get to do it live out here at Cash Creek Casino Resort, which is big, beautiful, active, awesome, tons of fun. We'll tell you more about that coming up as well on Willard and Dibbs. Live at Cash Creek Casino Resort, live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco. And we want to welcome in, by the way, our other winner is now in the room. Zucci Main is here.
He's here?
This is my golf partner, my partner. My partner is here.
Your partner
is
here?
This is my partner, and I would like to see if you can use your superpower on Zooch, because this has become a thing, and I watched you do it again with Demetrius, and it freaked me out. And for people who don't know what Div's superpower is, he can look at someone and immediately tell their age, and often can just grab their birthday month
yeah.
out of the back pocket of his pants,
yeah.
his cargo shorts.
Shorts, yeah.
So anyway, I watched you do it with Demetrius.
Yeah.
You literally pulled 61 out of your arse.
Bang!
And Demetrius goes, just turned 61 like a month ago.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now Zooch is here.
Yeah.
And I happen to know a little thing or two about when his birthday is. And how old he is.
Okay.
Because it came up before you just came back from your little journey to the bathroom or the blackjack table or wherever the hell you just were.
Both, actually.
Good. All right.
Won a quick 50 and was able to get a Tinkle Tinkle 2 down.
Oh, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. We're trying to work on that with my almost 3-year-old Tinkle Tinkle 2.
Tinkle Tinkle 2.
Yeah, she's all tinkle and no toot, but yeah. that's neither here nor
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Zucci's yeah. tough because I'm looking at him.
Take a look at Zooch, and how old do you think he is?
Well, I'm looking at him. Can you take your hat off, Zooch, so we
that's,
can get a...
That's not appropriate.
No, it is. Yeah. He's got a headband yeah. on because normally one of the tells is like... you know, and I don't want to go too Chris Berman on you with the hairline if it goes back. But, yeah, he's got
– Yeah.
I mean
– He's got a good hairline.
Yep.
He's got his dreads.
Yeah.
He's got his,
oh, yeah.
his band. He's a strapping man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And he's got some adornments. He's got some jewelry with a cross.
Okay.
Which it's nice. It's classy. And having gotten to know him a little bit, like, as a listener and
just,
online,
yep.
he definitely has that old soul vibe. But when you look at him – He looks like he's a young man, so...
You yeah. are stalling.
I'm not.
Is what you're doing.
What I'm
you're
doing
stalling.
Is...
You're doing exactly...
Okay, don't laugh at
you
that.
You know exactly what you're doing. It's the same example we always give. If you get home too late and your spouse says, where were you?
Where was
your
I?
Your first answer is, where was I? You are stalling.
What I'm doing is I'm walking you through the process... That I go through when I make these guesses.
All right. So have we arrived?
We have.
All right. And your answer is?
He's 31.
Okay. So first and foremost, your superpower has been busted.
Oh, no.
But secondly, you did it in the right direction because this is a dangerous game that
okay,
you play.
Okay, Grandy.
Like, if you do this, especially if you do this with women,
well,
you are really risking your life.
No, with
like,
women,
if you're
you
just
always
like, oh,
go
you're 48.
With
and
women,
like,
you
I'm
never
32.
Go.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many times do you think I've been slapped across the face for wrong guesses?
Why do you think those cheeks are so red?
It's because I'm
anyway,
a happy guy. I'm an Irishman.
Anyway, Zooch, if you please. Oh, by the way. You want to guess the birthday month?
No, because I'm off on the year. But
okay.
he feels like he wants to be a Gemini, but he's not. We're going to say June.
I don't even know when is Gemini.
Gemini just
I don't
passed.
Do, like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's June, though, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, you're close, but you're off again.
So this
youngster right here
right?
is turning 40 next week.
Dang, okay.
That man is turning 40. You said on July 7th? Okay, July 7th.
That's not next week.
So,
week and a half.
That's next week.
Can we buzz him?
No. The buzzer is for you. It's called the Dan Dibley ceremonial
40,
buzzer.
40, okay.
The man's turning 40.
Yeah.
So he's going to literally do the old Oklahoma State coach thing out on the golf course tomorrow if he makes birdie.
I like it.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's good.
Yeah, he's going to do it.
No, he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Yeah.
And, I mean, congrats. You know, 40. It's
what we're going to shoot on the front nine tomorrow.
It's possible.
It is.
You know, you're
yeah.
allowed to.
Are
but...
you going to – are you a good player? He just laughed. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So he used to play every day for
All
15
right.
years, but he hasn't
That's
done
great.
It in 10. Well,
yeah.
we're going to bring it back.
That's
we're going to bring it back tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're Yocha Day. Hee-hoo.
Have a kid.
That's what we're going to do.
Sell the clubs.
Yeah.
The way that works.
That's, but, it happens. So,
yeah. No
anyway, Justice De Los Santos covers the Giants for the Merc. He's going to be on with us in about 8 or 9 minutes. This is the kind of series that I will just tell you I hate. I hate this because, in fact, I feel this way already about Wednesday's game. I felt this. About yesterday's game, these are the games that fans go, you better win. And I just, that is such a very difficult way to fan when the sport is baseball, because it's baseball. I don't know who's going to have bloops that fall in over the second baseman's head or whatever, but that's the mood of the Giants fan base right now. You called it a get-right series. I sort of call it a better win series. Like, you know, I don't ever say that you have to go sweep someone, but somehow, some way, if the Giants, they're in their softest portion of the schedule all year,
right,
and they've ruined the first 3 days of it already. You have got to win at least two out of these three games in Chicago.
I mean, start by getting a win. And I go back to the last game in Colorado where they had no business losing that game to the Rockies. That should have been a sweep. You won the first two. You gave away game three in that series. And then you went to L.A. and Logan got you the win that you should have gotten and you didn't get the other two. Fine. You came home and you had a dreadful homestand. So, honestly, coming off of the Miami series where you should have never been swept by Miami. You should have not lost two of the three, but that happened. You've lost 7 of 10, and you go to Chicago, who is the, ostensibly the second worst team in baseball, and they might actually be the worst by the end of the days. And I feel bad for Will Venable, kid out of San Rafael, who's the skipper, but they've got nothing, and yet you're a Giant team right now that is kind of on the ropes, and you won't have Chappie. I don't know if we've got an official word on
Schmidt. No Schmidt today.
So but he's not on the IL.
No,
he won't play
today. He actually said that he was going to do some hitting work today in the hopes of playing tomorrow. So he could be back as early as this weekend. So that news is good. But no, it'll be Chris Koss who will make you jump.
Okay. Yep.
And he'll be at third base again tonight. The lineup is funky. They got a funky lineup. I would love to. We should have asked Bomel this when he was on earlier this week. I would love to know what's it, because remember when this used to be a real big talking point when Farhan was running this team? Who makes the lineup? Like, who does this? One thing I've noticed about this team, we are very close to knowing who's going to be in each position each day, all the everyday players, but boy, we have no idea who the hell is going to be hitting where in the lineup. Are you ready for this? I give you three tries right now. And Lucas, if you want to do game show music, let's ride. I give you three tries to guess who today's cleanup hitter is. Three tries to come up with today's cleanup hitter for the San Francisco Giants.
Well, I know that they got a righty pitching, so it's probably not going to be Wilmer. Oh, again, you're stalling.
You're stalling.
I mean, I could sit here with dead air, or I could think out loud, which is what we do. Sorry, Zucci, you're about to be 40. Apologies. Cleanup hitter. It's got to be Rafi Devers, right?
Rafi Devers is incorrect.
Thank you. Strike one.
Rafi Devers batting second.
Okay. Boy. That couldn't be him. Might be him. Certainly wouldn't be Patrick Bailey. Process of eliminati. It's got to be Elliot Ramos. He's the big stick.
Elliot Ramos is incorrect.
Normally, you wait for the host to repeat the guess
before you
do the buzzer.
I know, but he's... Look,
exactly.
Wrong. Yeah.
First time buzzering.
No, he's doing Grandy's job today.
Yeah, right. I mean, Yaz...
Correct! You got it!
Yes!
You got it.
Yes.
I wish the radio audience could have seen the way you said that. You threw your hands up in the air as if you were Pods at a Valkyries game.
I mean...
And you were just like...
Waiting for the buzzer.
Yes? Yeah. Elliot Ramos is leading off.
Do you really think Yaz is a cleanup hitter? I do.
I do. Rafi Devers second. Wilmer's batting third. Yaz is cleaning up. Willie Adames fifth. Jung Hoo Lee sixth. Chris Koss will make you jump. Patrick Bailey, Brett Wisely, there's your lineup. Roop, there it is on the mound.
And we're back to coming up, 7-8-9, and we'll see you in the fourth inning. That's coming up next. We're back to automatic out, and oh my God, is he still on the team?
I mean, I know I get why you're saying that. You're not wrong. I mean, Koss has been really good the last – three or four games.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm not suddenly excited about the fact that he's on the team, but he's been better. Wisely has his moments. He had a hit or two in yesterday's game. So, whatever. Bailey, that's an accurate label that you just gave.
Yeah.
Although, He did get what Matt Williams thought was the game-winning hit on Wednesday night.
Right.
Matt Williams thought it was.
Exactly.
It was the game-tying hit. He thought it was the game-winning hit.
Well, it would have been the game-winning hit if, you know, the base runner wouldn't have been out by 71 feet.
Exactly.
And, you know, I just, you look at this series and we could talk about the shoulds and the matchup on paper and all the rest. I just look at the team right now and you got to hold your breath because, well, you know, when the hitting, like we talked about yesterday, complimentary baseball, when the pitching is good, the hitting's not there and you're hoping to win 2-1. And when the pitching's bad and the hitting's great, you lose, what, 12-5?
Yeah, I think the Giants are suffering from a confidence problem right now, which we can explain more next, and I would love to talk to Justice De Los Santos about it as well. He is fairly new on the Giants beat. He does it for the Merc, and we look forward to welcoming him on the show. We'll get answers on Schmidt, Chapman, everything else that's going on with the Giants. Coming up next, we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater and live from Cache Creek Casino Resort. This is Willard and Dibs, and the party is going to be ongoing all weekend long.
And if you are looking for a getaway and a place to play and swim and golf and gamble, and I'm being told by sources that the spa here is next level as well.
I'm sure it is.
Like, when you come out
here, the steakhouse, everything.
I'm trying to describe this to you, like, you drive out here and you go through a couple of neat little towns and then you start to get out to where you're just out and about, and next thing you know, you take that last turn and you look and it's an absolute oasis of hotel, spa, casino, golf greatness. And it's like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to come out here with Christy, because she used to come 20 years ago, and when we came around that corner, she's like, oh goodness, this place done grown up.
It's grown up.
It's a little different than it was a number of years ago.
Yep.
All right, so let's head on out to the River Islands guest line. Justice De Los Santos covering the Giants for the Merc and joins us live now as the Giants get ready to start a series in Chicago. Justice, it's wonderful to have you on the show, man. What's going on?
Appreciate y'all for having me. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we start with Casey Schmidt and third base? Like, how's his health? And you can throw Chapman into this. Like, how's third base going for the Giants over the next week or two?
Certainly not as good as it was about, you know, 2 weeks ago. Obviously, Matt Chapman had been in the midst of another Matt Chapman-esque year, 812 OPS, Gold Glove defense. He gets injured sliding back into first base. Casey Schmidt fills in for him at third base, and Schmidt hadn't really gotten any consistent playing time up to that point. He just took the third base position and kind of ran with it, but he himself got hit on, I think it was Wednesday night, took a 95-mile-an-hour sinker to the left wrist. The x-rays came back negative. The CT scan didn't reveal any type of fracture. He's not going on the injury list as of right now, but still not quite ready to play yet. Christian Kos has been filling into third base for the time being. So we've yet to really see this Giants lineup at full strength since the Devers acquisition. And with Schmidt in particular, possibly he could return to the lineup tomorrow. I did see the Chronicle's Shayna Rubin tweet that he will be taking some dry swings. I always love the terminology dry swings. They don't just say he's not swinging off a tee, it's just a dry swing. So he's going to take some hacks there, see how it's going, and then he could potentially be in the lineup tomorrow.
It's actually hilarious, the idea of dry swing. So basically, he's just swinging a bat. Like, Mark and I are going to play golf tomorrow, and before I hit the golf ball and I take a practice swing, is that essentially what a dry swing would be?
Essentially, which makes everything else a wet swing. So I don't know if I want to describe it as that, but that's the terminology. That's the terminology. And also, like, baseball activities, too. Like, that could mean, like, running is technically a baseball activity because you got to run, but it's just one of those fun parts about covering baseball that you got to learn.
Right, right. And other baseball activities could involve, like, scratching and spitting and adjusting your hat as well, right?
It's a full spectrum, but that's just you learn it. The longer you cover the game, the more you find out these little pieces and bits and pieces of terminology.
Justice, you might be on to something, because there's that McCovey Cove thing out there. So a wet swing is not necessarily a bad thing for a Giant. It's terrible for a golfer. I don't know if there's any water hazards out there tomorrow, but we're gonna try to avoid those. But, you know, I would love to see Rafi Devers' first wet swing of his Giants career.
that would be something without context. If you're not, you don't know.
Fair enough.
Hilarious without context, but it feels like it's coming at some point. It feels like it's going to come at some point. Didn't happen on the first homestand, but did have the two homers. So.
We can change the subject if you want, Justice. It's fine. But, yeah, anyway, here's something I want to ask you. I'm not even sure exactly how to ask it, other than, I guess, just to ask for your perspective here. When you see Matt Williams sending guys when it's clearly not a good time to send them, when you see the Giants bunting so much in situations that could be large rallies, it feels to me the fan – like the coaching staff at times is openly saying, we do not have a lot of confidence in the next guy in the order to get a hit. Are the Giants suffering from a confidence problem?
I wouldn't say so. I think that, you know, over the course of the season, this team, you know, it's not exactly built like one of the big bopper teams in the league. It is going to be one of those offenses that's contingent on a lot of things going right at the same time. And right now, they just don't have a lot of guys going right. At the same time, Jung-Hoo Lee's been in a pretty extensive slump since April. They don't have Matt Chapman in the lineup. Rafi Devers had a good game yesterday, 3-for-4, but he's still getting acclimated. Wilmer Flores has been in a little bit of a skid, and we did see how good this offense can be in April, but they just kind of are going through one of these extensive slumps right now. Is this closer to who they are? Is April closer to who they are? I guess we kind of need to see how the second half plays out, but as far as the Matt Williams of it all, the one thing that I would, you know, this is not to either defend the send or to have, like, the thumbs up on the send, but I think the one thing to remember is that these third-base coaches, they're not just, like, in the moment, they're like, oh, this is a good send, it's a bad send. They're taking a lot of different things into consideration. And with the Rafael Devers send in particular, you got to realize that the Giants' offense had been really struggling up to that point. You're asking a very young Miami Marlins team to execute two perfect relay throws, which, if you've seen their record, if you look at some of the numbers, it's pretty safe bet to make that, hey, even with Rafael Devers running, he's probably not going to make this throw. And it's one of those plays where in the course of the game, if Devers does score, that might flip the momentum of that game. They might end up winning that game. The send yesterday, or the send on Wednesday, rather, it may be a little more questionable, especially considering you had Christian Costa. I think it was Wilmer Flores due up. You would have had runners at first and third with one out. So I don't think it's necessarily a confidence issue. You know, this team, like I said, they're going to have their ebbs and flows. Can they get back to the point they were in April with Chapman back when Devers starts clicking? Potentially, but, you know, this is not a team that's built to score 6, 7, 8 runs per game. It's going to be still, even with the Devers trade, contingent on pitching, contingent on defense, and scoring enough runs to be competitive.
And the pitching has not been as consistent of late, and now we have a move with Sean Jelly being sent out and Carson Seymour coming up. What's going to be his role, and what do you think the fix is for the staff that's had a little bit of a scuffle of late?
I think as far as Seymour's potential role, I think he's going to kind of fill into that role that Jelly had, where as far as low leverage, potentially multi-inning reliever, the Giants do view him as a starter long-term, and kind of one of the ramifications of the Devers trade is that their starting pitching depth just isn't as deep as it was a couple of weeks ago. I did write about this where without Kyle Harrison, without Jordan Hicks, you know, if someone has to miss a start, if someone has to go on the injured list, you don't have that, those guys that you can fall back on. As far as the rotation in recent stretches, you know, the thing to remember is that this rotation does have two really young starters in Hayden Birdsong and Landon Roop. They're going to go through their ups and downs. They do have the anchors of Logan Webb and Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, two starts off the injured list. So I would expect there to be some variance as well, and that's where the bullpen really comes in and can help keep them in some of these competitive games as long as the starters give them 5 to 6. And I think that's the one thing with, again, Birdsong in particular, he's 23, Roop is 26. They're both going through their first real extended stretches as starting pitchers. And Rupert's pitched really well since the start of April. And, you know, Verlander, he's not going to be pumping 96, 97, 98 as he did in his prime, but can still kind of give you those 5, 6 innings. So the offense, you know, you take what you can get from the offense. If the starting pitching starts to fall off, that's when things start getting a little problematic. But I think going forward, that still is going to be the recipe for this team to fight its way into the playoffs.
Justice De Los Santos covering the Giants for the Merc, joining us live here. Willie and Dibby at Cache Creek Casino Resort on a Friday afternoon. The Giants will be in Chicago taking on the White Sox all weekend long, including tonight. Justice, I'll be real with you, man. I thought that the whole experience over the last 48 hours with hitting batters was really weird. I get that the Giants were frustrated by the buildup of this whole thing, but to seemingly blame that all on the Marlins and seemingly tell them the night before they hit them that they were going to hit them, that just seemed like a very odd way to go about this. What did you make of it?
I understand the frustration on the Giants end, because if you go back to the last game of that Dodgers series, they had just been plunked a bunch of times. They got hit twice the last game of the Dodgers series. Elliot Ramos got hit three times during the homestand. Flores got plunked and he kind of threw the helmet down, which kind of a side, you know, subplot in all of this. If you didn't know anything about Wilmer Flores and you just saw this last homestand, you would think he'd